call now. Hello, my friends. On this, the 20th day of May, the year 2021, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon here in Los Angeles. The sun is out. The clouds have burned off. It is a Southern California pre-summery day. I love it. And in the midst of all of the chaos, listen and pay attention, and then I'm going to answer the question, is it all over? Thank you. Listen.
A ceasefire that's been brokered by Egyptian officials. The details of it are not clear, except that it's expected that the ceasefire should come into effect in 3 hours' time from now. We've just got a very short statement here from Benny Gantz, Israel's defense minister, and he says the security forces, Israel's security forces, have achieved unprecedented military achievements in the last 11 days in their strength, accuracy, strategic significance in the fight against terrorist organizations in the Gaza Strip. He goes on to say the defense establishment continues its readiness to protect Israeli citizens, and the security forces and the IDF are deployed in the field in all formations in various sectors in defense and in attack. 15 minutes ago, sirens were going off close to Gaza. We could hear impacts in the distance. This is all dependent on Hamas's weapons falling silent before 2 a.m. local, 3 hours from now. If they don't, Israel is indicating this is on again. They will strike Hamas back.
And Nick, what can you tell us about reaction on the ground to this news?
You know, Jake, about 2 hours ago, sirens went off. We went into the bomb shelter in this hotel, and I'm giving you that background because in there I spoke to a lady live on CNN and asked her what she thought about what she wanted the Prime Minister to do while he was meeting with that security cabinet. She said she wanted the strikes to continue. She lives in the south part of Israel. She is worried about Hamas's strength and more rockets coming from Gaza. She's not alone. A lot of people around here will tell you that. They want to feel secure. They want their government to make them feel secure, and they believe the way to do that is to continue to hit Hamas until they can't strike back. I asked, what about the civilian casualties in Gaza? Her answer on that was along the lines of, we need to be secure. They need to understand that, you know, Hamas is using their territory to launch attacks here.
In the background, Stanley Turrentine, his rendition of Don't You Worry About a Thing. Stevie Wonder wrote that so many years ago, and that's what I want to start off this webcast with, encouraging you to do. Don't worry about a thing. And the reason that I say that is because in God's timetable, everything's taken care of. What you worried about it for? Don't you worry about a thing, pretty baby. This is retired Pastor John, PJ, talking to you from the Lucy Coleman studio, a studio named after my wife. I mean, wife. Lucy's been gone since 2001, and if she was here, she would say, what kind of America is this that the country that I came all the way over here from the Philippines from, what happened to America? I look at another news clip and it says, today the Texas governor is banning public schools from requiring masks. Here's what parents have to say. Can you believe that? What did the parents have to say about that?
Easy way to prevent disease spread.
This woman believes students should wear masks in school.
The flag is a symbol of freedom.
This woman doesn't. Both are parents of students at Santa Rosa County Schools in the Florida Panhandle. Cynthia Lacharowitz tells us she believes she had COVID-19. Her father died after contracting the virus. But wearing masks, she says, should not be mandatory, even in school.
My rights don't end where your feelings begin. You can wear a mask if you want. We're not going to force you. You have a choice. It's not a law.
It's not about choice. Choice would be something like you choose to do something with your body that doesn't affect anybody else. But in this instance, this decision to not wear a mask affects everybody around you.
Rachel Cologne is a former healthcare worker whose daughter is at high risk. She's frustrated by the school board's decision last week to immediately end its mask mandate, a decision that came after impassioned demands from some parents, but not the science to back it up.
We're not going to be told how to breathe, what to wear, how to wear it. This is doing psychological damage to our children, and y'all don't care.
We're teaching our kids to keep their mouth shut, keep their feelings to themselves.
A school survey showed 40% of Santa Rosa County parents wanted the mask mandate removed, but a majority of employees, 53%, wanted to keep the masks at least until the end of the school year. Now schools across the country are reevaluating mask mandates. In Alabama, Lee County Schools said no more masks last month. In Texas, the Carroll Independent School District will lift its mask mandate next month. See?
And you know, the beat goes on. The beat goes on. What do I think about that? I don't think too much about that. Not at all. Since I'm not worrying about a thing, Stevie also wrote a number called Pieces of a Dream. Sign, seal, delivered. Let's listen to that. Come on, Stevie. Talk to me. We need some help here. Stevie Wonder now. Playing an album, Blue Note plays Stevie Wonder. Enjoy.
Oh,
of it. See, that's why I don't worry about anything, because the way God puts it, that everything is signed and sealed and delivered. And if you're in the hands of God because you worship God, adore God, love God, then you can dance with me. It's not about what the government says. Here's another news thing from the Washington Post. Israel approves ceasefire to end 11-day battle with Hamas. Israel could have kept on bombing those terrorists from Palestine until Palestine was no more. It's their legal right to do so. If somebody shoots a bomb at me, I got the right to protect myself and shoot one back at them. That's the way it's always been. But for those of you that are, I call you extreme religionists, and your extremities at times sounds like hyperbole and craziness, I'd like to read a little bit to you from the Book of Books, the book that I've been into for all of my spiritual life, the Bible. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, in the Old Testament, it reads like this. There is an appointed time for everything. This was an appointed time for the Israeli and the Palestinian war. It was an appointed time for people to die because you got criminals hiding out underground, building tunnels all around you. Just like if the drug dealers want to build a tunnel from San Diego to Los Angeles and want to ship drugs and stuff like that, our government has a right and to take the opportunity to blow that tunnel up, everybody in it, everybody that's around it. I like what Israel did. He said, y'all get out of there because we're going to drop some bombs. Oh, it's terrible. The children died, mothers died, grandparents died, homes was blown up. I didn't say anything when the mess first started because I was waiting on you guys to get a grip. We live in a world where some people think that they can do anything that they want to do and to get away with it, and the majority of the world is just going to sit on their hands and allow them to do that to them. I don't live in a world like that. I live in a world that teaches me tit for tat. Look what it says in verse 2 of chapter 3 of the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. A time to give birth and a time to die. You hear that? There's a time for you to have a sweet little baby and spend a lot of money and take care of that stuff and build it up. And there is also a time for you to drop dead and give up the life and die. And he says, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. See, I've cultivated my garden in the back, and I'm getting ready to plant some more and uproot some of them greens that I planted out there a couple of weeks ago and eat them with my dinner tonight. I agree with the Word of God, the Bible, the Hagias Biblos, God's standard for me. I don't worry about what's going on. I'm looking at what's going on, and I'm saying, thank God they're not blowing us up in America. Why? Because we have a defense system that's going to protect our behinds. And I'm telling you, if anybody try to blow us up, we got enough missiles to send their way and to blow them into oblivion. We allied with Israel, and that's why Israel is protecting their land base. Now, I'm not saying that everything the Israelis do is right, because damn it, it's just as wrong as everybody else. It's wrong to keep those Palestinians living like slaves all locked up. How do I know I'm a black man in this country? I know what equity and fairness is all about. And I know when, you know, people get tired of that, they're going to rebel. Well, you know, the Israeli premier said, okay, all right, we know you're mad at us because we're taking your homes and your land and giving it to our Israeli settlers and all that kind of stuff. That was done in the legislative field. That was a compromise. We need to look at that. We need to look at that. Hey, verse 3, a time to kill and a time to heal. Well, I guess it's time to heal because they took their time to kill. And a lot of people were saying that Israel shouldn't be allowed to be a democratic nation in that part of the world. Well, that's like saying where your mama came from is not allowed. Who are you and who is she to say anything? Oh, here I am, baby. signed, sealed, delivered. Look at this, a time to tear down and a time to build up. Well, Palestine been tore down. Hey, now's the time to send some contractors over there and build it up. There's one Palestinian lady was crying on the news a few days ago. Every time we get it built up, every 10 years it gets blown up and we got to rebuild it again. Well, what are you letting a terrorist organization like Hamas build underground tunnels, embed themselves with your baby, your grandma, your grandpa, your mama, and your papa, and everybody else? And then when Hamas do some terrible, see, Hamas said, all right, we tired of the oppression. We're going to show you how tired we are. You're supposed to work that out at the diplomatic table. That's what the Egyptians was trying to do when the Egyptians was trying to get them to come to the peace. You all better come to the peace thing and talk and stop having your boys send them rockets all any kind of way into Israel, because Israel got enough armaments to wipe all of Palestine out. And what are they going to do? They're going to rebuild. They're going to build up. A time to tear down and a time to build up. Just like in America, if all hell breaks out over here, what you think these people are going to do? Let this country lie waste? They're going to tear up the scrap and they're going to build it up again. Those of you that think that the end of the world is coming because those people are fighting over there. Now, you can take that view if you want to. They did the same thing prior to World War I. When World War I came, the Europeans thought this was the end that the Bible talked about. Then World War II came. More people died there. Then when 6 million Jews, and then Hitler was getting rid of all the gypsies, all the blacks, all the homosexuals, everybody thought Christ was coming back then. All right, after World War II, then Koreans, the North Koreans and the Chinese going over to 38th parallel and killing and shooting. People thought that was the end. It was the end for the ones that died. But it's not the end yet. I'm talking to you. I'm trying to raise a vivid consciousness in your mind, because now since they're opening up the churches and everything, you know, preachers got sermons now because they can tell you, the end is coming. God told me to tell you to give me 10% of everything you have and pray to God. We can have a prayer vigil and he's going to have you up all night praying. Wait a minute. Let's continue to read this. Verse 4. A time to weep and a time to laugh. During these funerals, it's a time to weep. You know, I was looking at it when Al Jazeera live news was on, and they said they told us to clear out our building in Palestine because they was going to blow it up. And while the lady was giving the newscast, the building got hit and went down. Should have heard what the newscaster says. Oh, how could they do this? This is easy. Easy. They did it with a jet, a bomb on the end of that thing, targeted, computerized it, and they probably was in a bunker somewhere in Denver looking at where the missile went, because the missile came from this country to Israel. Now, what you going to do? You going to hate this country? You're going to hate this government? You know, and for those of you that want to hate this government and hate this country, I'm glad they opened things up, because you need to get your asses out of here. Really, that's the way I think about this. And I'm going to say it. You can get mad at me all you want to. I don't care whether you're black, white, turquoise, pink, purple, or green. Whatever. This is the greatest country that I've ever known in the history of the planet. Yes, we have armaments. Yes, we're going to continue to have a police force. Yes, I'm glad that they are not going to prosecute those policemen. When that man in South Carolina was driving his car, when they were serving a warrant on him, he's selling cocaine, drugs, methamphetamine, everything else, and then trying to run the police. Now, what was they supposed to do? Say, please, mister, stop driving your car and be a nice young man. And just send him to meet his maker. That's the kind of world we live in. And thank God that we don't let people run havoc. And that's why I'm glad that cop is in jail for choking out that Floyd guy. Because you could have got up off of his neck. Since you didn't, you're going to suffer the consequences of your mess. I wonder who's cleaning up his house now. I wonder who's collecting his mail now. See, when you do wrong, it comes back to you. I've been trying to tell these young men around me for years, don't be doing no wrong and think you're going to get away with it. Not in this country. I am a law and order brother. I worked 17 years for the LAPD. I was an LAPD chaplain. I know right from wrong myself. That's why I can play some jamming music and really look at this. Man, it says, a time to mourn and a time to dance. See, a lot of Palestinians are mourning right now. And a lot of people around the world are dancing, saying, oh, well, we hope that they learned their lesson. Now, here's one, verse 5. A time to throw stones, that's what the Palestinians was doing, and a time to gather stones. Well, they gathered them, and they threw them. Look at the part B of verse 5. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. See, they're trying to embrace now. But they were shunning the embracing while they was blowing the doozer out of them. Come on, come on. I believe in my Bible. I'm a retired pastor of the evangelical type. I don't believe like these newfound pastors believe that everybody should be getting away with everything they want to get rid of. And no, and it doesn't frighten me when bombs go off. If bombs go off here and blow up things and blow up my house and tear up the Lucy Coleman studio, I would say it is what its preferableness is. And it did take place. Wait a minute, wait a minute. A time to search, verse 6. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. See, they're searching for dead bodies all throughout Palestine. Y'all preachers want to know what to preach? Preach this on Sunday morning. Oh, we're living in terror. Preach from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and tell the people how real the word of God is, and put on some nice music so people can say, my God, God has spoken, and the whole world will shut the Hades up and listen. Look at this, a time to keep and a time to throw away. Because see, when they're digging through that rubble, they're trying to see what they can salvage over there in Palestine. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Wait. Verse 7. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. Oh, does that sound like the Bible prophecy? Y'all want to talk about eschatology, right? The end time. Oh, Jesus must be coming. Yeah, no. Why are you looking for Jesus to come back? Because human beings are doing what they've been doing ever since they've been on the planet, killing each other, lying, massacring each other, depraved creatures that we all are. It's time for those of us that got a little brains left in our head to use some sense and sensibility here. Look at verse 7b, a time to be silent and a time to speak. Wasn't I silent for the past 5 or 6 days? I was silent, wasn't I? It wasn't the time for me to talk. I was waiting for him to talk about a ceasefire. Now it's time for me to speak. See, and you young preachers, you better start using your head. If you're speaking for God, Jehovah, Elohim, I don't care whether you're a black nationalist or a white supremacist. God is speaking to all of us. Black lives matter, and so do the Asian lives. Everybody's, you better give some time for God. That's what you better do. Because if they start fighting and killing and everything over here, my neighbor talks to me over the fence all the time, and he said, John, what are you going to, wait a minute. You know what? I don't worry about that because I got an article here says that the largest iceberg in the world has broken off. Did you know that in the news? The largest iceberg in the world. Check this out. I cannot believe it. From Antarctica.
A massive iceberg about 3 times the size of the city of Paris has broken off a glacier in Antarctica. Satellite images show the iceberg breaking away from the Pine Island Glacier in recent days. It comes as temperatures on the Antarctic Peninsula spiked to a record 65 degrees Fahrenheit. Scientists also captured this moment when a glacier recently collapsed in the very same region. Take a look at that. It is estimated this block of ice weighs thousands of tons and is more than 130 feet high. And
Antarctica reached 65 degrees Fahrenheit last week, guys. It's 39 degrees here in New York City.
Yeah.
All right. So that is
Don't
the epicenter.
Figure, yeah.
65 in the South Pole is terrifying.
Very alarming.
It really is.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's not terrifying to me. That kind of stuff has been happening every day, every year, all around the planet. Why are they all upset in New York? Why does that mean, oh, look at this. An iceberg is... It's going to be breaking loose. This is God's planet. Now, you can blame it on global warming or global cooling. What would have been cool if you had a tourist ship full of people that paid about $2,500 a ticket to see it happen and to have the ship aimed right at the wave so the tsunami wouldn't turn it over. And that would give you your money's worth. That's right. Here's another article. Should you be selling stocks in 2001? You can do whatever you want to do. Because, wait a minute, let me continue to read this. Verse 8 says, a time to love and a time to hate. You think them Israelis and Palestinians was loving each other? They got to try to love each other as they sat around that so-called peace table. But there's a time for that. And you got to give time for time to take place, a time for war and a time for peace. And I'm going to stop right there at verse 8. Wait a minute. Look at verse 9. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? See, we're talking about trying to open the economy back up and so we can get thinking. God says, what profit is that? What profit is it? Oh, people, I'm telling you. You know what I did recently? I try to keep you guys informed on what I'm doing. I got tired of looking at my house is falling apart. And I said, no, I better take what pennies I got left in the bank and get my house painted. I'm going to get my house painted a beautiful color green. I already got the rocks in the front yard. Why am I doing that? I'm 77 years old. Why am I investing? I am investing in what God has given me because it is mine to do. This is what America is all about. This is what the United States of America is. And I'm glad that I can do that. Now, I'm going to do it whether you like it or not. And if I didn't have the money, I sure enough wouldn't do it. I'm not going to spend my money on frivolity. I'm going to spend it on beautifying where I stay. So that when I invite my friends by, I've had my COVID shots. I've had both of them. And I have my written receipt to prove that I've had it. I'm going to invite people by. If they haven't had the COVID shot, they're going to have to wear a mask in my backyard. Now, why am I talking with you like this? Simply put, because I want you to continue to enjoy the music that I'm going to play for you. Let's continue to listen to this good music. It's from an album. Blue Note plays Stevie Wonder. You know what that is, don't you? Summer Soft. And who's playing it? Najee. I'll be back in a minute. Thank you. listening on G. This is PJ in the Lucy Coleman studio playing a little music for you here on this Thursday afternoon in Los Angeles from the Lucy Coleman studio. Are you thinking that the world is going to come to an end and blow up? Learn how to look at the news and get the right perspective. Now, I'm going to fade this out and then we'll continue with a little bit more music later on. And the next record that I'm going to be hearing from this marvelous album is from Stanley Turrentine, Boogie On Reggae Woman. Yeah, featuring Stevie Wonder himself on the harmonica. So that's the next cut, and so you stay tuned. I'm so glad that you could come to my website and at least take an hour and chill out. Wow, I want to tell you, I took that second shot, and it had me rocking and rolling there for a minute. But you know what I did? I obeyed the quarantine. See, this is one thing that we have to understand. If a person does not obey the rules, I was listening to a cut from the Authority Research Institute, Dean Gocher's website. You can find his website down at the bottom of my page. And Dean was talking about, because of the lack of patriarchal thinking in this country, we think more on the terms of a matriarchal system as opposed to a patriarchal system. Daddy is right. Daddy knows the rules. You should follow what daddy tells you to do. But people would tell you today, well, if daddy is corrupt, you cannot depend upon him. And so he cannot be trusted. Well, that's why they don't want to believe in this patriarchal thing. Men are running everything. My daughters would tell me, Daddy, men run everything. And look at what they've done when they have their hands on it. Well, we got Kamala in there as a VP. And I read an article from one of the major newspapers yesterday said that Dr. Biden, that is Joe Biden's wife, called Kamala a nasty word during the election and saw how President Obama cursed out, used the F word when talking about Trump. People are depraved. And I think that we got this thing all mixed up here. If you're a human being, a man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. That's what my Bible tells me. A man is destined for trouble as sparks fly upward. That's what it says in the Old Testament, in the Bible. Everybody's talking about the Bible. I believe in God. You believe in God, right? All right, I got something for you. I'm reading now from the book of John, and I'm in chapter 3. See, I'm not afraid of the Bible. Just because I don't have a church and a pulpit, I'm not afraid of the Bible. This whole entire website, I have different subject matters up. What I do is I can open up my Bible and it's going to affirm me. Let me preach to you a little bit. Jesus speaking. You know who Jesus is. I believe in Jesus. I don't have to make a special op notice for you to know that I believe in the historical Jesus of the scriptures. All right. So this is a red letter edition that I'm reading from in the New American Standard book. John chapter 3, the New Testament of the treaties that I've been believing in my entire life. And it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, wait a minute, let me give the context of the whole thing. Now, there was a man in the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. In other words, Nicodemus was rich, powerful, influential, and the Jews, you have to understand what that term Jews mean. It don't mean Jewish people. It meant the leaders of the Jewish community. It didn't mean the poor Jewish man that changed the horseshoe or cleaned the slop hole where the toilet was. Not for him, because he didn't exist. When we're talking about people with money in this first century, they dealt with things on quite a different level than we did. So when you read the Bible that was written 2,000 years ago, keep it within its literary context, in its contextualization. Because if you do not do that, you're going to make a mistake. And when you make that mistake, which many people do, you fail. Now, here it is. John is writing, and he says, this man came to him by night. In other words, Nicodemus, the Pharisee, the rich Pharisee, came to Jesus while it was nighttime. Now, do you know why he came to Jesus at night? He couldn't come to him during the day because his fellow Pharisees would see it and say, what's the matter? You trying to follow this crazy man? Because Jesus was figured as a crazy terrorist. And he was talking stuff, getting the people in the nation to turn against themselves and to turn on the people that was treating the people wrong. He said unto him, Rabbi, this is what Nicodemus said to Jesus, Rabbi, we know. Now, who is the we that he's talking about? He's not talking about the Jewish people that lived in the region. He's talking about the Pharisee and the Sadducee and the Herodians and those religious leaders and the political leaders of that nation. They said, we know that you came from God. So there's no doubt that they knew who Jesus was. Either Nicodemus said that he was BSing or he knew what he was talking about. We know that you come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you are doing unless God is with him. Now, we see Nicodemus acquiescing to the fact that they know who Jesus is, because can't nobody do what you're doing? You know, I tell you, you know, look, everybody think I was against Frederick Casey Price. I wasn't against him. He was lying on God. He was not a godly minister telling you the truth. Here I am. Frederick Casey is dead. I'm still alive. I don't even pastor church. I'm not even a member of one. But I know what this book says. So y'all stop fussing with me and pay attention. You're listening to someone that believed in God from day one in August of 1967, and I will never blaspheme his name. I will never lie on him, nor will I ever lie on him to you, his creation, because I want you to experience the blessings that flow from the heavenly places. Oh, praise Jesus now. All right, let's continue to read this. No one can do these signs unless God is with them. Now, look what Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus. Truly, truly. Now, whenever you see Jesus repeating himself in the Bible, he is repeating himself because he is putting emphasis upon something that he wanted this religious leader to latch on to. You see, a lot of people said, I was looking at something on YouTube and one of these black leaders was saying, yeah, all those preachers that go to cemeteries. No, when I went to grad school, it wasn't a cemetery, brother. See, when I went to grad school, they didn't teach this mess that they teach in these so-called preachers these days. Oh, no. I went to an institution that taught you the language, went into the historical background and everything on the level of, let me see, who were some of my professors? A lot of them are dead now. A lot of them are dead. Old, faithful men, white and black, that knew what this Bible taught. So don't let these people come and fool you and think that if you believe the Bible, there is something wrong with you. Oh, no, it's not. You're not going to have all of Europe, all of the Mediterranean, all of Northern Africa going all in to the Far East, all of America, across the waters to Japan, Taiwan, everywhere. You got a group of believers that believe in Jesus all over this world. This isn't no mistake, young men and young women. You millennials, you may think that you got it all wrapped up, but you better listen to this old man. Listen to what Jesus says. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, here's what you have to ask, what is Jesus saying to Nicodemus? What is he saying to him? I'll just make it plain. He didn't tell Nicodemus to go and join the church. He didn't tell Nicodemus that he had to keep the Sabbath. He didn't tell Nicodemus that he had to join a religion. He said, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you won't even see God and his kingdom. Now, this frightened him. That scared the pants off of old Nick. How do I know? Because Nicodemus said in verse 4 to him, how can a man be born when he is old? See, this showed this religious leader's utter stupidity when it came to understanding what God is saying. And that's where America is today, utterly stupid. You don't need a theologue to help you read this. Jesus is giving us a lesson for humanity here, for those of you that think that the end is coming and you're going to be raptured and taken away from all this mess because you're scared of what you're seeing. And, oh, I saw the movie. We should have all been ready. No. You know what getting ready is? That's when I'm reading this to you about. Look what he said. Nicodemus went on and says, he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born, can he? Now, Nicodemus, this is a rich, one of Israel's intellectual giants asking Jesus, do you mean, prophet, that I got to enter into my mother's private parts again and to be born afresh? What is going on? Hey, don't laugh at this. There are many people just like that. They read this book. They have no idea. I was born again in August of 1967. I'm still attached to God. I'm still attached to Christ. I am still his disciple. I don't have to pastor a church. I don't have to have people in front of me. I have the Holy Spirit in my mind, in my body, permeating everything that I do, motivating everything that I say, captivating everything around me and immersing it in the Spirit of God, trying to help a handful of people that got Christianity all messed up because of religion and money. All right, look what Jesus said to Nicodemus when he asked that ridiculous, foolish question. And for those of you that are preachers looking for something to preach, shut the hell up. I'm tired of you. Man, I can't find nothing to preach. All you have to do is open up the book. You don't need a bunch of Greek manuscripts in front of you. You don't need John MacArthur's, well, yes, we affirm you and we say you're, man, what? Wait a minute. Jesus said this. Jesus answered in verse 5, truly, truly, he's putting emphasis on it again. He wants Nicodemus to pay attention because he knew that he hasn't been. Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see, my induction into the Christian faith was not flesh. I didn't become a Christian when I shook the pastor's hand and let him baptize me. I didn't become a Christian when I joined the Baptist church. Oh, no. Jesus said to my heart, truly, truly. And when he speaks to you, whomever I'm talking to, truly, truly, you will know that it's him, and you will know who you are if you just reach out and touch somebody's hand and make this world a better place, if you can. Let's continue to listen to some music and enjoy ourselves. You're going to hear Stevie Wonder come in with a harmonica in a minute. Thank you. That's Stanley Turrentine on the saxophone there, playing that wonderful, wonderful record. Blue Note plays Stevie Wonder. Boogie on, reggae woman. And I'm glad that you can do a little hop, skip, and jump dancing with me here instead of having your face buried in the sand because of life that may be treating you kind of poor. I'm glad that I could take some time and add some relevance to what's going on this world, on this planet that I live in. Here again, if God has given each of us life, that means we can see, we can breathe, we can taste, we can move, we can experience love from one another. We can go on with our bad selves. If you don't believe in the music that I'm listening to, well, then listen to Mozart, Beethoven, Brahms. It doesn't make any difference, but cheer up. And if you got any cares, listen to this. Cast all of your cares on God, because God cares for you. He created you. Listen, it wasn't too hard for God to create every human being on the planet. And since he created each of us on the planet, there's enough food to feed all of us. There is, especially in this hemisphere. So I'm going to end the webcast right now, and I'm going to say thank you for coming by and spending a little time with me. We're going to listen to Paul Jackson Jr. now play one of Stevie Wonder's. No. I don't want to do that. I want to play one. I'm going to let it play. This is Paul Jackson Jr. playing It's a Shame, and I hope that you enjoyed your time with me. God bless you. Thanks for coming to my website. See you next time.